been thunderstruck? Have you ever had one of those moments when you just couldn't believe that this was real? Like the first time Reed and I went to Estes Park. I don't know if you've ever been to Estes Park in Colorado. But you see the mountains, but then you see the meadows, and it is just the most glorious sight you've ever seen. And I know we get blue skies out here, but because of the lower atmosphere in Colorado and Wyoming, the blue is bluer. It's like Reed and I's eyes. When you get up to it, it is so blue that you can't help. And so when we picture these gorgeous mountains with their pine trees and aspen on them, and the bluest sky you ever saw, and white clouds. And at that moment, all you can do is go, oh, right? You're thunderstruck. So I want to get these words right, that's why I have to bring my glasses. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, who has this excellent show called Star Talk, where he talks about science and medicine and all things coolly science related. And he was asked one time, what is the most astounding thing you know about the universe? And here's what he said. The atoms that comprise life on Earth, that make up the human body, are traceable to the exploding stars that created the universe. So when I look up at the night sky, he says, I realize that the universe is in us. When I look up, I feel big because my atoms come from those stars. Think about that. You are all stardust. Or another way to put it, that one of the carbon molecules that you are sending out right now is a carbon molecule that Jesus sent out. That at every moment in time, you have a piece of Jesus that has run through your body. To be awestruck, to be thunderstruck, it's what we hope for, right? It's, we want to know and have an experience that God is real and present and working in our life. And yet for most of us, we never get that moment. This passage from Job comes at the end. Do you remember the beginning of the story of Job? So Job has an excellent life. He has flocks of sheep and cattle. He has the most beautiful daughters in the world. And it all gets wiped out, taken away. He has no more daughters. He has no more cattle, he has no more sheep. And so he goes to the trash heap in town and he sits down and his three good friends show up and sit down with him. And they're silent there. Now it would have been nice if they remained silent, but they started doing that thing we all do. They started giving him those proverbs, you know, the ones that tell you, you know, it's okay, God's not going to give you more than you handle. Only in Job's case, the proverb that they kept throwing at him was, you must have done something to make this happen. It's all your fault that your cattle is gone and your children are dead. And Job, now this goes on, so that first section is one chapter. And they're sitting there on the garbage heap, and his friends argue with him for 37 chapters, okay?
That's his friend.
That's his friend. They argue with him that it must be his fault. That there's a reason that God took everything that could be away from him. And Job keeps sending back to them, it's not my fault. I have lived the life that I was called to live. I have been blameless and upright before God. And he screams. He starts screaming at a while. know my Redeemer lives, but you better get here and tell them the truth. I want you to show up and tell me how you could let this happen." And so the friends give their good advice, which is terrible advice. It makes Joe feel worse. And Joe keeps saying back to them, "I want God to tell me how he could do this to me, because I didn't do anything wrong." And then we get to our chapter, okay? And so it's swirling and whirling, right? Winds and thunder, and God appears. And then God says, "Gird up your loins." You know this can't be good, right? This is not going to be what he wanted to hear. I think God questions Job about what he thinks God is. Because he wants God to come in and say that I can fix it, that everything will be all right, that it wasn't your fault, that I didn't mean for that to happen to you. And instead, God shares God's self. You know, it's like Moses, when Moses asks, "Hey God, you want me to go to these people, who am I to tell them you are?" And God says, "Tell them, I will be who I will be." And then don't say that word ever again. Well, God comes to Job, and he lays it all out, right? He said, "Have you ever been to the mountain crag where the mountain goat gives birth? Have you ever swam in the ocean depths, frolicking with the dolphins and the whales? Are you able to be at the furthest point of light and see its breaking dawn? Have you ever been to that moment, that point in time, where the thunder starts, where the clouds form? Can you go to the place where the eagle sets up its nest and roosts? Can you fly with the birds over the treetops? Could you make that happen, Joe? Are you able to create understanding and wisdom?" And so for, I think it's four chapters, God asks those questions of Job. He does pause every once in a while and say, "All right, Job, time to gird those loins back up. Because I got some more questions for you." And at the end of the question, Job realizes that what he was asking wasn't the right question. That what he was hoping to gain from God wasn't what he needed to learn. That God's manifestation for Job showed him that God works in ways that are beyond our comprehension. That God's mystery is more amazing than we can possibly imagine. That mystery is supposed to hook up. That mystery that we're supposed to get in touch with. We're supposed to remember, like Neil deGrasse Tyson said, Stardust. Is what makes us impossibly special. So how do you know when you've been thunderstruck? So sometimes it's really clear, right? For some people, they get a direct, worded vision or response from God, and they know. For others, you have to wonder, like, are you doing the right thing? So Reed and I, setting out to Wyoming, right? Get my first ever and last ever speeding ticket. And I'm wondering, do I turn the car around now? Because this is not going well. Maybe I'm not meant to go there. And then we get to Wyoming, right? And Reed and I have never been west. And we get to Wyoming, and there's this big flashing sign, and it says, semis, do not go on the highway, because it's a high wind advisory. And Reed and I are like, well, we're not a semi. So we turn our car onto the road, and there's this truck on its side. And I'm thinking, are we in the right place? Is there where we're meant to be? Is this what we're supposed to do? Did I make the biggest mistake of my life by saying yes to Wyoming? And at that moment, it would have been awesome if God came in a thunderbolt, right? I mean, at that point, it would have been great if he would have just played the right song on the radio to let me know I was in the right place. But the truth is that God helps you to discover the place where your stardust can blossom and the things that you need to do to make that stardust blossom. And that means that you know you're heading in the right direction when all the things start to work the right way. Like each little step you're taking, while not perfect, may give you the sense that, yeah, I got this. This is what I'm meant to be. This is where I'm meant to be. And so even though there may be trucks on the side of the road, if you're still having this sense that there's a greater purpose, that I'm doing the right thing, that I've got something that I need to learn and experience here that I never had before, that even if, as a Job, you lose your cattle and your sheep and your daughters, you may experience something that you hadn't planned on. You may be thunderstruck by a God who moves in that moment and provides you with the next insight in how you're to be a better person, more completely human, more follower of Christ. That's what I needed in Casper. Casper taught me how to be a minister to the people that were most left out. That I had never had to do that before. It wasn't part of my immediate environment. Because I had been an academic up until that point. And now I was in a spot where I was meeting people who were rejected most of the time. And God showed me how to move in that circle to make people feel welcome. And while it wasn't the place I was meant to be the rest of my life, it was a step on my journey that helped me to become who I can be. I may not have had lightning bolts at that moment, but I knew I was where I was to be at that point in that time. And that's what being thunderstruck is about. It's about finding that stardust within you and working to make that stardust grow. Amen.
Amen.